Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
What's up, everybody? It's episode 127 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Coming at you live, not really, from the Broad Street Bully Podcast studio. What's going on, everybody? It's Drew Papsky here, along with Jeff DeAngelis and Doyle here.
That is not the introduction that I was hoping for.
Yeah, I was hoping for the better one. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Happy to be here. First time, long time. Not really. Episode 127. Time, that's one time. Sean Couturier plus a...
Who's number 13? Dan Carcillo.
I was going to say, Dan Carcillo.
Dan Carcillo.
That works, yeah.
Dan Carcillo.
Oh, my God, Dan Carcillo. Great Tim Saunders call for that playoff run. The 2010 versus the Devils. What a great overtime play that was.
We love that playoff run.
We do. We really do.
So much.
If only it didn't end, you know, shortly after a Ben Eager wrist shot, which went into, you know, the glove. Or not so much the glove.
Ben Eager loved that playoff run, too. It's the only time he scored.
Yeah, I'm going to take us off topic already real quick.
Oh, boy.
You know how they used to show the Stanley Cup games like in the Wells Fargo Center?
Yeah, yes. the viewing parties.
Yeah.
I was there for the Boston Bruins Game 7 when they came back.
Miss.
No.
So I think the Lincoln Financial Field, they were going to try and have a viewing party at the stadium.
Oh, but it's so cold outside.
But they're not allowed to because... The NFL's not letting them do it because it's going to ruin their Nielsen ratings.
NFL's the worst.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to have everyone watch their Pepsi halftime show.
Yeah, exactly. Because it'll mess up the how much they can sell ad space.
Who is the Pepsi halftime show?
It's going to be Justin Timberlake and,
minus Janet Jackson.
Somebody else, though, I think. And no wardrobe malfunction this year.
Yeah. JT's a quadruple threat. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, JT, I do like...
JT is a guilty pleasure.
Yes. Yeah. But
pleasure.
I don't care about the halftime show. I care about one thing and one thing only, and that's the Eagles winning. But we'll get to that later, people. This is the Flyers podcast. We're going to act like we don't like the Flyers. The Flyers played a total of...
act like we like the Flyers.
No, act like we actually care about them. I mean, we do, of course. But it's, right now, I'm all Eagles mode. But, you know, I digress. We've had a game and a half since we last spoke, because last time we spoke, we did a little early on the Tuesday when the Flyers were playing the Red Wings. Flyers held on to win that one and went up going to overtime. And went up squeaking out a win. And then Thursday, they had... Oh, boy, not a really good loss against Tampa Bay at home before going a little All-Star break. And the NHL All-Star game happened this past weekend, and the skills competition and all that stuff, which we'll be talking about. And the Flyers have some injury update news, which we'll be getting to shortly. So first things first, Red Wings game last week. We were doing the show. What the heck happened?
Brandon Manning pulled a end-of-season, last season... deflecting a goal,
a hope destroyer,
into his own net.
They called that about 10 years ago the Braden Coburn effect.
Yeah,
pretty nice.
That goal was so bad it lower body injured Elliot.
Yeah, so the injury update for this is
are you sure it's lower body injury or did he go to Long Beach Island?
It said LBI, so I think Doyle's question is fair and also valid. Jeff, your rebuttal.
I'm good. I got nothing.
You got nothing? Okay, good.
They never specified. It just says LBI.
All it took was Doyle to bring up a moderate, decently sure location in New Jersey for you to lose your mind.
Now, however, it was retroactive to the last game that he played, so he can be recalled at any time.
But he is on IR, though.
Yeah, but apparently they
needed
it.
Which stands for injured reserved, not the... I can't think of a good
they needed
location.
It because this way they can bring Lyon up. So,
Indian Ridge,
not
Oklahoma.
Interestingly redundant.
Yeah, I like that too.
Infrared radiation.
Jeff, your rebuttal.
So now
Jeff is really not good on the spot.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to get back on track. So now the Flyers
you're
have
a horrible twister player, aren't you?
Flyers have an issue because they have a goalie who's never played a game and a goalie who's reaching his consecutive games played without an injury limit of. Two.
Michael Neuwirth?
Yeah,
they better be pumping Tamiflu into him because he was already sick on Monday.
Yeah. Hope they got all their flu shots. They probably do as athletes, right?
So if Elliot's not healed and Michael Neuwirth inevitably hurts himself because that's what he's best at, then all of our season hope
Simborski.
Lies on the shoulders of Alex Lyon.
Whatever happened to Anthony Stolarz? Gosh darn it.
I think is he back and playing or is his knee still boo-boos?
No, he's... He's looking at a late season return.
Oh, there you go. Look at that. Remember when he was going to be the backup last year?
Oh, good. Yeah, that was he had meniscus surgery back in September. Yeah, he's out indefinitely. He's not coming back, I think, anytime until the end of the season at least. Even then, it'd be pushing it because meniscus is pretty serious ischias, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was one that he, like, already tore.
Yeah.
He, like, tore it and then re-tore it.
Injuries beforehand while coming up.
Stupid. Stupid knees. Who needs them?
Well, Carson Wentz does, apparently. Oh, another Eagles reference. Anyway, back to the Flyers standings. So at this point, after that loss to the Lightning and the squeaking out win with the Red Wings, the Flyers are in the last wild card spot in the East with 56 points, 24-17-8. The Rangers are breathing down their neck, though. They have one more game played, but they have 55 points. Same with the New York Islanders. So the Flyers, really, in the upcoming games this week, which would be the game you are missing out on, or we are missing out on, because this is before. This is back in the past. So you are in the future. And last night, the Flyers played the Washington Capitals. We have no idea what the heck's happened. This is in the future, but for you guys in the past, this is a whole time-space continuum thing.
Yeah.
And then tonight, for you guys listening to this, the day it comes out on Thursday, every Thursday, Broad Street Bully Podcast, on all available major podcasting platforms, the Flyers are playing the Devils away in the there in Newark, or wherever the heck they play anymore.
The Rock.
So we got that going on. And then finally, Saturday, a home game. Matinee versus the Ottawa Senators, getting ready for your Super Bowl matchup on Sunday, and the Flyers have off till Tuesday versus the Carolina Hurricanes. That'll be away, so impending any parade that might happen, that won't really be affecting. So, being Carolina, who that cares about hockey down there?
Lots of division stuff coming up.
Yeah, of course. And the rest of the month kind of is the same deal. February, we have Columbus twice. We have the Rangers, and then we also have two more Montreal Canadian games, which are, you know, interconference matchups, and of course the Ottawa Senators, all conference matchups. So it's
going
all
to
east.
Be a sprint to the finish.
There's not really much in the West left, except for really Vegas. That's all we have left.
Oh yes, Vegas.
Yeah,
Vegas.
It's not.
Oh, and we have Arizona. We have one Arizona game left, and two Vegas games. That's it.
It's not crunch time yet, but it could certainly make or break their season the next month if they tank it.
Well, the question is that people were talking about, you know, via the Twitter spheres and all that stuff, is the Flyers Red Wings game. That's probably a game they didn't really deserve to win outright, which is going to happen. I mean, you play 82 games, you're not going to win some you're not supposed to win and lose some you're supposed to win. But it was kind of worrying to see the downward trend there and then come out on Thursday versus the Lightning and put up a pretty much a stinker. To be fair, I think the Flyers played the worst game imaginable. They did some things well, but it was overall, when you lose with that big of a deficit, it's kind of hard to feel good about the way the game went after.
Well, Lightning kind of smothered them at every pass, and their only goal was, what, a late power play?
Yeah.
The Braden Shen special. It's
like a third period Travis Konechny goal.
Yeah, from the Braden Shen slot. So.
And I think it was when they pulled the goalie, too, so they had six men.
Yep.
Yeah,
so at least they didn't get shut out. You know, that's
the
positive.
Flyers basically won the second period in the Red Wings game with the two goals. But the Red Wings scored in the third, and they were pressing the whole period. And the Flyers were lucky to get an overtime that game. They got the two points.
And then Tampa Bay, they came out flying in the first period.
And then they died. They definitely tried. I'm not saying it was lack of effort.
It was like a reverse.
It just was the second period started, and they couldn't keep up with the Lightning anymore. And the Lightning, I think, played the night beforehand,
The Lightning were on a back-to-back. Ryan Callahan had a real scorcher for a goal.
Yeah.
That was, I believe, his second of the season.
And that was also a
shorthanded goal.
He
scores
against us all the time. Yeah. That was the backbreaker. The Flyers were still in the game at that point, still trading chances, but still
on
the receiving end of too many
Many cooks?
Not too many cooks. More like too many chances from the opposite end. A pinch of salt and laughter too.
A dash of cool to end of the heat.
Something. Jeffy rebuttal.
Can't put me on the spot like this. Not good with it.
Sorry, am I stealing your thunder? Too many crooks? So that's how that week kind of ended for us. And the question is, the Flyers, after going flat in the All-Star break, can they come out firing? Last night, aka tomorrow in the future, if you're us right now.
Their starting goalie is crippled.
Their new line combination, though. Left wing Voracek is back.
Left wing Voracek is best Voracek.
He will be centered by Nolan Patrick, and on the right wing will be Wayne Simmonds.
Wayne Simmonds makes his return to the second line because he was kind of floating in obscurity for a while.
Yeah, who's Wayne Simmonds?
Yeah.
You mean Wayne Simmonds?
That's one of the things, like, we talked about it kind of in text messages. Like, Wayne Simmonds dropped down the lineup, and nobody really made any stink about it.
Yeah, no one really cared, because the team was winning.
It's playing, like, third and fourth line minutes, and everyone was just like, Travis Sanheim sitting. Like, what about the guy who, like, is looking for a contract extension?
And being paid way more money. He's been a core piece of the team in the last, like, 4 years.
Everybody was just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yuri Laterra is playing over Oscar Lindblom and Brandon Mann is playing over Travis Sanheim.
Jordan Wheel and Michael Raffel are being centered by the one, the only. Do you guys want to guess who it is? I'll just tell you right now.
Well,
So he's centering the wheel, and I can never get enough of that wheel and raffle. And then Goulbourne and Laterra are going to go with Scott Lawton. And then Lear and Weeks will be healthy scratches based on the readings I've done, a.k.a. what Bill Meltzer said about practice today. You know, I'm not going to lie here.
Well, no, did I mean, you Meltzer's see, right, so.
While we briefly touched on Oscar Lindblom, did you see the scorcher of a shorthanded goal that he had?
Oh, yeah, in the three-on-three? No, in the All-Star game?
No, in the actual...
Oh, I saw that. I saw a tweet about that. Yeah, because he played pretty well in the All-Star game, apparently, too. The AHL also.
Pulled a nice little spin-a-rooney and completely undressed somebody and scored a goal.
Yeah, whoever that goalie is, who might be a prospect for some other team that might haunt us down the stretch, or they might be really horrible. See, I never want to make fun of those players anymore, because I did the Dustin Byfuglien once, and he raised a cup in Philly. So I still feel kind of bad about that. You've all heard the story, long-term fans of the show. So
like that Islanders goalie, where we made fun of him, and they're like, he won like the Calder Cup last year. And we're like, all right, guy, We don't know.
Yeah, but the thing was,
just imagine never, if he actually got traded here.
Yeah, it's true.
Dustin Byfuglien.
Yeah,
well, he is apparently E5. They're trying to replace that Chris Pronger like presence from 8 years ago. You know, at time Ben Eager scored a goal in the Stanley Cup Finals 2010 versus the Flyers. Remember the Blackhawks?
What game was that?
That was game one.
I've seen
2010. I believe it was the first week of June.
I've seen a lot of people who are all in for Erik Karlsson now.
Oh, dude, people are saying...
The Flyers are trade for him?
That they want, the Flyers to try to get Erik Karlsson, which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, trade Shane Gostisbehere for him?
I wouldn't do that.
That's probably what you'd
definitely
have to give
be
up,
like,
though.
Travis Sanheim.
What's like rearranging patio for? It's like trading Shea Weber for, like, I don't know, P.K. Subban. Who the hell would do that? Oh, wait. Jeff, your rebuttal.
Well, did you guys watch the skills competition on Saturday?
No, I didn't watch anything because I went to dinner and I got really drunk.
Okay, well, at the skills competition...
Hold your applause. Eagles playoffs are still going on. I didn't stop drinking yet.
On Saturday, they were doing the hardest shot competition and they were like, previous winners like Shea Weber, who's not here due to injury, and like, looks like Nashville's getting the best of that trade.
They were actually saying that?
Yeah, they were talking about P.K. Subban and
who
how like Weber was here. I don't remember because I was pretty drunk, too. I think Jonesy was there.
Milbury was...
Catherine Tappan did some stuff.
Okay. So all the whole NHL... NBC,
oh, JR.
It was NBC Sports Crew.
JR was spewing nonsense
NBC
the entire
Sports
night.
Slash some of those guys do NHL Network, too, don't they? So it's like they're like a weird hodgepodge.
Jeremy Roenick interviewed one of the shooters for the accuracy competition and was like, well, what do you think the hardest... Or what do you think the most important part of the accuracy shooting is? It was like hitting the targets, and the guy was like... I would say it was hitting the targets.
I think like, not falling over on your skates from party night before.
Or it was like Ovechkin. Like, do you think like the lead up to or like actually getting the shot like over like you know the like shooting the fastest is the most important? And like Ovechkin's like definitely having the fastest shot. Like, it's, what kind of questions are these?
What's the hardest part of your day? Lacing up your skates or blinking?
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Breathing.
Oh well, for some of us, yeah, we have emphysema. But thank God, NHL players usually don't have those kinds of ailments on their side, so we should be fine.
So anyway,
speaking of Ovechkin, did you see how gray he's gotten?
Yes,
he's gotten gray.
I feel like Gillette should do another sponsorship and shave that bad boy pepper off.
He's gotten super gray. He's also not that old.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty wild.
You know what they say, you know, Russia aging is best aging.
And he also had the hardest shot, clocked in over.
He did
101.3
on his last shot.
Still not Goz Chara, but I'll take
nobody
it.
Broke. Nobody wrote close to 100 except for Ovechkin.
Yeah.
He's kind of disappointing.
He's one of the best shooters you're ever going to see in the NHL.
But they only had, what, one other defenseman?
Rivaling
Harvey
Oswald.
Or no, they
Harvey
had Burns
Oswald.
And Klingberg.
Yeah.
And
he was in the NHL.
They asked Drew Doughty before because they were like, well, what do you think of Brett Burns in the hardest shot? And he was like, Burnsy, he shoots muffins. He's not going to do anything.
He's a muffin shooter.
And he literally shot 88.
His wife has muffin tops.
He shot his number.
Yeah, so every time you think about like players like, you know, being sissies for blocking a shot or not wanting to block one, just imagine. I mean, not all players shoot that hard, but we're talking like upwards of 50 to 60 at probably the least for most defensemen getting a hard slapper from the point. Some of the bigger guys who get a lot of wingspan and wind up, you're going hard and it's going to go right hit you right in the boot where you don't have any protection. Jeez.
Nick Schultz and even Andrew McDonald when they were playing the Capitals in the playoffs at one year just repeatedly getting annihilated by Ovechkin shots in the wheelhouse.
Even Hatcher and Jason Smith back in the 08-09 run. They were like being held together by like tape and like, you know, ace bandage, and they were just like blocking shots like crazy because they were so slow they had to be in position and not
Jason
move and just
Smith
fall into pucks.
Is one of my most underrated favorite Flyers.
Of course. I feel like we bring this up all the time. He's the man for a year, but it's okay. It's what the team needed.
Hey, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals that year.
Yeah, versus the Penguins. And the next year they went to the Finals and lost to the Blackhawks. But anyway, back to...
So going back to Erik Karlsson, Flyers news on the trade front, Charlie O'Connor of The Athletic wrote that...
A.K.A. Eklund.
No.
We cite no sources on this podcast except for Eklund.
Well, okay, so...
All goes back to the hockey buzz.
Charlie said that Hextall won't make a move unless it helps the team in the long run. No one-year rentals like Rick Nash or...
A.K.A.
Evander Kane.
We have 2 fourth-round picks. Trade one of them for Pat Maroon.
Now, diametrically opposed to that very rational theory is a theory from our favorite beat writer, John Bork, who believes the Flyers should make a move at the deadline, and they need to get a forward.
I feel euphoric for the Bork.
What kind of forward, John?
He just says that they need to be flexible at forward.
Aye.
He doesn't feel they have to part with a talented prospect, but there appears to be a larger pool of prospective sellers this year. So the Flyers could try to fleece somebody.
Sellers, what about prospective addicts?
Now, Spectre's hockey notes, as of course Spectre's rumors are pretty good, he agrees with O'Connor, which is the smart move because John Bork is a bumbling dolt.
Ah, this week on John Bork's Bumbling Dolt. Where in the world is John Bork going to be adult next? He talked about, the Travis Sanheim dilemma, and now we're back here
It's truly, I know a lot of people didn't like Tim Panaccio, but Tim Panaccio is like the Woodward and Bernstein of Flyers reporting when it comes to the drivel that comes out of John Bork's Twitter.
Does that mean something good?
Woodward and Bernstein, the people who broke Watergate?
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
I don't know. You went to Fancy Journalist.
I thought you were a history teacher.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know Jeff was going to use that, all that journalism and English degree. Doesn't
I blocked out Richard Nixon.
He's a great man.
I am not a criminal.
He did nothing wrong.
He did nothing wrong, exactly. People have done way worse, and they're still in office today. Sorry. Anyway, I digress. I'm not a criminal. He would have been a great president for that. Everyone loved him. Get him out of the NOM, trying to at least. Expanding civil rights for people, or trying to at least, while saying horrible things on tape behind the scenes. But hey, it doesn't matter. You know, that's what happens. It's what people do.
Richard Nixon.
So yeah, I thought you were just using some fancy, you probably studied that like a journalism, 103 class.
They're like the most famous reporters
journalism
ever.
Journalism 103.
I just want to make Jeff feel valuable for all that English degree he got.
They're like
still
the most
has a voice crack and uses incorrect grammar.
Literally the most famous reporters ever.
Yeah, well, you're literally Hitler. Sorry. Sorry, I just tried something I saw on Reddit earlier. Let's see if it worked for me. Did I win the argument, Don? Do you think I did it?
You won in funny points.
Well, good. Because my funny bone is a tingling. So I just hit it on the table.
That would have got you a lot of upvotes.
Oh, good. Comment karma. That's what I farm for here. Just comment karma on the podcast.
Karma Kramer.
Karma chameleon. Let's bring back song of the week.
No, oh, boy, George.
I won't do that. Oh, shut up. I thought I was bad. I was listening to what I had to say. Oh, this just in. The Flyers' goal differential is at a whopping zero right now, so we're not in the negatives anymore. We're all
Boom.
In the black, baby. So when the Flyers came out of last Thursday's game, they woke up, it was Black Friday. They were in the black for as far as the numbers.
So was that actually Boy George, or was that Culture Club? Do we know?
It was Culture Club.
Oh, my God. Wasn't
Boy George in
Boy George
Culture
was in Culture Club. Yeah, I don't see why this is an issue. Yeah,
because okay. It was Culture Club. It wasn't Boy George.
He was singing
specifics unhonorable.
What's your favorite 80s crappy song? Call on 856-347 give your opinion. For next
everybody
week's
Wang Chung tonight.
Favorite. All right.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
My favorite is Josie's on a vacation.
The outfield. That's a good one. What's that look for?
Because he hates that song.
Oh, you don't like Your Love by the outfield?
I don't like anyone's love.
Oh, my God. How can you not like that song? It's a great song.
Delco, gosh darn it.
What?
I don't have anyone's love. I don't like it. I don't want it.
Just because you're unlovable.
I'm very lovable, first of all.
You belong on the island of broken toys.
Ask your mother, Trebek. Sorry. That's my great impression of a Sean O'Connery impression.
The
Should
end
I said Sean and Connery? Oh, my God. Get me off this topic.
Sean and Connery.
Sean and Connery.
So we talked about this earlier. How are we going to face the facts with this Elliot injury?
Oh, we're in trouble. The season's over.
All right, that's the hot take.
Michael Neuwirth is going to come out of the All-Star break. He's going to hurt himself somehow because that's what he does best. And then Alex Lyon's going to lose 6, 7, 8, 13 straight games.
Think the Flyers will make a move at the deadline?
No.
To get a goalie?
Just like a backup. And not like anything big, like maybe trade a fifth-round pick or something like that, or a prospect.
Eddie Lack.
Elliott should be. He was placed
What's Ed Belfour doing nowadays?
He was placed on retroactively, which means he can be activated at any times, which means it can't be that serious.
Somebody asked, they're like, if there's like an emergency situation where we need a goalie, do you think the Flyers will bring up Carter Hart? And somebody responded with, Hextall will play himself before he brings
that
up
would,
Carter
That would be
Hart.
Asinine. I disagree. Even if the Flyers were desperate and were like, this was like the win at all, like closing the window like the Caps last year, I still don't think they'd do that.
Yeah.
No. That's extremely ridiculous.
Carter Hart would take a look at Andy McDonald and be like, I have better defensemen than Junior.
Yeah, so Lyon will probably get some starts here. I don't know. They'll probably ride Neuvirth until he gets hurt, which will happen.
Yeah.
So right in time for the possible
up,
playoff run.
Who did they call up after? Who's the backup for the Phantoms? Tokarski?
Yeah.
So they would have to call up Tokarski, and then the Phantoms would have to dip into the ECHL?
Yeah, the Reading
the Royals.
Royals. Yeah.
And then the Royals, of course, would have to sign a beer league guy, and it would just be a huge mess.
Maybe they'll make a trade for Appleby from the Devils. He seemed to be okay in relief for whatever the other guy.
No, he's going to come to the Flyers immediately, give up 7 goals a game.
Oh, there's probably
he loses
decent,
his mystic power.
There's got to be a decent backup floating around the AHL somewhere.
Yeah, Rob Zepp.
Flyers won a cup, I'd come to the Flyers, too.
Look at the guy playing for the Blackhawks right now.
Rob Zepp.
No, he's playing in over
former,
in Europe right now.
He's a chair making
the
chairs.
Guy,
or whatever
the guy playing for the Blackhawks right now is literally like Rob Zepp
is
part
right?
two.
Diet Rob Zepp.
He's like the second oldest goalie to win
Diet
his
Rob
ever
Zepp.
Like his first ever NHL game.
Rob Zepp zero sugar goals against average.
God damn it.
Well, it's delicious, okay? Tastes good. Tastes like the real thing, but it's just not quite. It's way more discounted in calories. It's great. I really enjoy it a lot. So if we, what do you guys even do? Like, I guess, like, is there any possible scenario you think they sign someone of at least kind of note? Or do you think they just pull up a bunch of backups and just say whatever? Because at this point, at the trade deadline, if they don't have a starting goalie, he's out for a while. Neuvirth can't hack it with staying healthy. Do the Flyers become actual sellers of the deadline? Like, for sure, and trade Simmons at that point? Because they're in the playoff spot now, but it's we're hanging on like the last tooth you had when you were like 12 and your mom's like, here, I'm just pull it on three. And she on one, she pulled it.
I could
and
see
you
them,
cried in blood everywhere.
I could see them trading Simmons if he like continues doing nothing. Because like, why not trade him then and get something back? It mess up the flow of the locker room, but you're not going to win the Cup this year anyway, most likely.
That's what
right?
you think.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, look at
the
Eagles.
Going to the Super Bowl. Look at them now. They're about one win away.
But no,
60
I don't
minutes
think,
away.
I don't think there's any goalies. Are there any goalies that are going to hit the trade block that the Flyers would want? Because if you believe the rumors, the Rangers are going to get ready to go into full fire sale mode, apparently.
Yeah, I heard that.
Because the New York Post is reporting that like doesn't matter where they're like where they are in the standings, like McDonough and those guys, everyone's for sale. So like they're saying that if this actually comes to fruition and the Rangers start dumping everybody, then Lundqvist is going to look for a way out of town. So do the Flyers want to get Henrik Lundqvist for the twilight of his career, like a John Van Beesbrook? Probably not.
No.
Then who else is there? Like, you get Ryan Miller. I think he's a backup for the Ducks. His best years are behind him. But
you should have signed Bernier. He's killing it right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, Bernier, yeah. I mean, who else is there, really?
I just said Eddie Lack is playing in the AHL right now.
I don't really have anybody on here. I'm looking at top free agent list, and I don't see any goalies on it, really, for the upcoming year. So I really have no idea. It's going to be an interesting way the rest of the season is going to go for the Flyers, but the goaltending hasn't really been the problem this year.
I feel like everybody's...
So maybe they'll pick up the slack and do one of those Flyers things where when one thing's not doing well, the rest of the team plays well, which has happened the last, what, 8 years of this team since the Cup run in 2010. So I don't really
you
don't
also
know.
Don't know how, because they don't tell you about how serious Brian Elliott's hurt, which probably not that serious. Could just need another game.
Yeah.
Isn't there a minimum that you have to be on IR for?
Well, it's retroactive to the last game that he played. So okay. It was the Detroit game, right? Because
yes.
I think Neuvirth played against
the
Lightning.
He was put on IR right before the Lightning game.
So yeah,
yes.
He's been on IR since technically last Tuesday.
Oh.
So he can be reactivated at any time. But they just did it so they had a roster spot to call up Lyon freely.
Yeah, yeah. So it couldn't, maybe it's not the maybe it's just like a couple weeks or whatever. Who knows? But
yeah, I mean,
Neuvirth can last a few weeks. Right?
I don't think he'll miss more than one or two games before he comes back. Because nobody, there was nothing made about it when he evidently hurt himself. So it can't be anything too serious. There's got to be something that's nagging at him.
Yeah, it's something to rest and like rehab, get a little couple massages.
Probably tweaked like a hamstring or pulled a groin or something, and it's just lingering.
Ham.
Ham.
Like that.
Delicious ham.
Anyway, Jeff and I had a good opportunity earlier today. We interviewed someone from the Snyder Hockey Foundation, Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation, I should say. And they had a bunch of great things to talk about, some new programs we had. And we gave them a little listen here because, you know, they're a pretty big organization in the area. And we're all Flyers fans. And we like to support the community and all that stuff. So we got this interview from earlier, and then we'll be back right after this. All right, hey, guys, what's going on? It's Drew Papsky here with Jeff, and we have a very special guest today. We got Jenny Berzina from the Ed Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation here with us tonight to talk about some of the things they've been doing for people like you who listen to the show and might be interested in what they have going on this year, a bunch of cool events. Some cool opportunities for big Flyers fans to get in the mix a little bit and also support a great cause. So, Jenny, thanks for joining the show today. How the heck are you?
Oh, thanks so much, Drew, and thank you, Jeff. Big hello to all of your listeners. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm great. I know that the three of us ran into each other at a Flyers game, which is exactly what I like to do, and I'm just so grateful to join you guys here. So thank you again.
Yeah, I can't believe you still agreed to this after you saw us with 24-ounce Budweisers in our hands. But I was like, okay, it sounds fine with me.
Meeting us in person.
I mean, hey, a Flyers fan is a Flyers fan.
I was like, you really met us in person? Like, you don't want to run away? It's awesome.
No, not at all.
We got plenty of stuff. So those of you guys who don't know, the Ed Snyder Hockey Foundation, for me personally, has been awesome because one of my childhood places I used to play hockey at, Cobbs Creek in Philadelphia, that used to be an outdoor rink. Like, half of it was outdoor. And I found out when I moved away from that area that I drove back by it, and it was like I saw the big Ed Snyder sign, and of course they covered it up, and now it's much more accessible, so you don't have to cancel the game when it's warm, so they can have hockey there all year round. They do a bunch of things. They have over 3,000 students. You know, they've helped, you know, get with hockey and get through school and everything. So you just want to talk a little bit about the Ed Snyder Hockey Foundation and what people should know about it as far as your mission?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So we are the Ed Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation, and just by conversation, we go by Snyder Hockey, so you might hear me go in and out of saying it that way. Ultimately, Ed Snyder created this organization in order to help bring the sport of hockey as well as life skills and academic resources to the underserved youth of Philadelphia. The rink that you're talking about is part of an amazing relationship that we have with the City of Philadelphia's Park and Rec District. So we are now integrated within multiple different rinks throughout the city where our students and certainly the communities can come together and enjoy the sport of ice hockey. But our students actually go through additional academic resources and programming at those rinks as well. So Ed Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation, we have a cutting edge program that uses the sport of ice hockey coupled with life skills curriculum and educational services to build character and academic skills, like I said, for those high risk boys and girls within Philadelphia. At the moment, we have just over 3,000 students, like you said, and we see them, like we say, from crayons all the way through college. So students as young as 5 can actually get involved with our programming. We start them off with reading buddies in terms of academics and the very, very basics of ice hockey. So they, in order to come into our program, they don't necessarily need to know how to play the sport at all, which we love. We love to be able to bring this sport that we're also passionate about to the communities at a very, very elementary level. And we will stay with them all the way through college. And that's something that we're so passionate about and love sharing with the young professional community within Philadelphia, because I think it's so impactful and people resonate with it. Our students now have the ability to access state universities for all 4 years, and they come out completely debt-free. So the Ed Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation supports our students with scholarships so that they can go room, board, tuition completely free through college. So we are now seeing students from ages 5 all the way up to their young professional life, which is really incredible.
Now, if I read it correctly, it's not just college that's no cost. It's the whole program that's no cost, right?
That's correct. Yep. So all of our students, they receive all of their hockey equipment, their ice time, their educational resources, that is all included in our programming. And we're so grateful for the amazing donors and corporate partners that we have to help make that happen.
Yeah. Now, coming from the other side of Drew, I grew up in the suburbs of South Jersey, so I know just how expensive ice time and hockey equipment can be.
Yes.
And it's a lot. It's a strain.
That's why I could play at Cobbs Creek, because my mom was like living in Delco, like, oh, yeah, I can afford that. I just got to buy like one less pack of cigarettes a month. And, you know, we could pay for Cobbs Creek. And then we had a lot of kids all over. Like, I played with all sorts of kids, you know, some rich kids, yep. mostly like are poor, lower middle class like myself. And that's the only time I ever won anything, like any kind of championship. The Copps Creek Lightning, baby, won against the Blackhawks in the finals. So a special place in my heart playing there. I was on losing teams the rest of my life. But, you know, that's why I'm a Philly fan. And I have to ask you one thing.
Sure.
You say crayons till college?
Yep.
So you're not from Philly. You didn't say crowns.
I know.
So wait a minute. Hold on. We got an imposter. If I can ask you.
You picked up on that.
Sorry.
Didn't you?
Well, I know our listeners would if we didn't, so.
No, I was born and raised in Virginia, but I've been here for a good long time. I went to Westchester myself.
Oh, Westchester University.
Oh, yeah. Go Rams.
Oh, we are alumnus then. What do you know?
Oh, very good.
So, and yeah, so that's great and everything. So, so I guess that brings to the next question is, like, you have all this stuff to pay for. I mean, you have to help them pay for college, help get them to play. Hockey's expensive as it is. So what are some of the ways you guys are, you know, making money or trying to make money to help do this? I mean, obviously you're a charity, so you have to, you know, you have probably people working around the clock trying to raise some money.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, we cannot be thankful enough to the foresight that Ed Snyder had. Ed, when he was alive, always matched every donation. And upon his passing, he had the foresight to make sure that our organization and most importantly, the students have enough resources that we can actually continue his matching policy for many years to come. So every new donor dollar that comes in is matched on a 3-to-1 basis. And everything after that is matched on a 1-to-1 basis. So thank goodness for Ed, because he, like I said, he did have that foresight and the generosity to plan for our students. So when we talk about charitable giving and, you know, there's so many wonderful causes out there and how do you make the right choice? One of the amazing benefits of Snyder Hockey is that we have more than 10 years of academic evidence to show that our programming and our methodologies are working with our students. More than 99% of our students are graduating and matriculating from grade to grade, which is amazing. They're reading either at or above their grade level, and now we're actually putting them through college and into jobs. So in terms of longevity of the program, it's safe to say that we are going to be here for a long time supporting these students. But above and beyond that, we have, like I said, amazing donors. And now we've really had an outcry from the younger generation. So typically about 35 and under that have been very interested in getting involved. But I'm sure, like you guys know, college debt, student loans, rent, housing prices, all of that is something that this entire generation faces. So we needed to come up with a way that was really impactful for them, but it was also attainable. So we created a subscription membership donation platform called U35, Friends and Fans of Snyder Hockey. And we've had an amazing amount of support coming from this 18 to 35 year old demographic. And that's ultimately who we're trying to engage with. So if you are 18 to 35, this is a subscription that you are able to donate at $10 a month. It's your choice based off of your budget. If you would like to do that $10 every month, or you can pay in full for a whole year, that money is earmarked towards the educational expenses for our students. And that was something that our donor base really resonated with, because we are putting so much effort into bringing college to our students. So part of the U35 platform is that we are building a community of like-minded charitable individuals that are obviously very passionate about hockey. So every month, our donors are entered into a raffle, basically, and we always have a prize winner. They can receive things like tickets to different Flyers games or other sporting events, concerts, some signed merchandise, things of that sort. And we are hoping to have our first either happy hour or gathering for our U35 community just in the coming months.
That sounds great and everything. And I know how, to go back to what you said about education, that's like really important for those kids. I have friends that are teachers in the Philadelphia area of areas. I'm actually, when I'm not, believe it or not, making millions doing this podcast, I'm a teacher as well and a coach, and I teach at some at-risk kids as well, so I know how important it is as a coach use sports to get them, you know, focused on things. Maybe that might motivate them more to, like, you know, either if they're just going to get through high school and, like, maybe move on to, like, a trade or move on to college, it's very important to kind of help focus them in. So that's why I was very excited when you approached us to do this interview, because when I'm not, you know, being a loudmouth Philly fan, I do have maybe a little bit of a soft spot that, you know, you would never know because I'm a jerk. That's why it'd be great to donate money.
Yeah, of course. You would absolutely love this then, because so some of the programming that we talk about definitely, I mean, we could get all sorts of hockey centric and talk about the actual skills assessment and on ice time that our students get into. But I think from that academic standpoint, we have different mentorship opportunities for volunteers to get involved with. We have some wonderful professionals that come in and offer workshops or shadowing opportunities. We have enrichment sessions. We have reading and math sessions, problem solving, puzzles, all of that. Last year, we had more than 2,400 academic game sessions, which is fantastic. All summer long, our students are going on field trips to different museums and other organizations, sometimes to human resource departments to get some shadowing experience at some of our corporate partners. We have programming going all year round. So when you guys, I would love to know, when you guys were practicing when you were younger, how often were you actually engaging with the sport around your schoolwork? Were you going to practice 1 day a week, 2 days a week? Like, how often were you actually going to the rinks?
When I was at Cobbs Creek, I mean, that was probably maybe two practices a week and one game a week or two games. It all depended. Usually, like, games were on, I think practice was Saturday morning. I mean, you're going back to when I was like, you know, I was under the age of 13, so
yeah, it was always light on practices, and then it was kind of more of a pickup league because I played when I was a little bit older, not when I was super young, and it was just like mostly, you know, the high school graduated college age guys, but just it's one of those things where like you get ice time when you get ice time, and like you go out and you have fun, and it's something to do to pass the time, and it's something you love doing, so it's not even like it's you pay the money because you love it, and if you can afford it, it's a great thing to do.
Yeah,
for sure,
absolutely. Well, then, so our students, we have more than 3,000 students actively involved in our programming, but we have a core group of right around 2,000 that are actually participating with us 5 days a week. So, Drew, from a teaching standpoint, you can absolutely appreciate that once students leave school and before parents might come home from work or the end of the day, there is quite an opportunity that needs to be filled in order to make sure that kids stay on the right path.
Yeah, a lot of downtime.
Absolutely. So close to 2,000 of our students are actually engaging with us at the rinks. They're doing their homework. They're getting tutoring. They're doing additional mentorship. They're doing the additional enrichment activities. And then they are going on the ice and actually, you know, engaging with the sport of hockey and learning and growing with their passion there, too. So that is something when you talk about the scalability and the impact that you look for in any type of charitable organization. Those are the kind of results that we're seeing on a day in and day out basis, that these kids are making the conscious choice to spend more time with us in a productive fashion than downtime doing other things.
Yeah. It's like the best after school program ever.
Yeah. Where was this when I was a kid?
I know.
We didn't have cell phones. All we had was instant messenger when I was like 13. This has been great. It saved me a lot of grief talking to girls in middle school. Jeez, it's been awesome. But anyway, so we have a couple events coming up for you guys. I know we were talking about this before when we met you. So you guys have this eSport tournament, the Snyder Cup. You're doing something with NHL 18 video game?
Yes. So the NHL 18 Snyder Hockey Cup, we have an amazing partner called worldgaming.com, and we are sponsored by Xbox. They've been amazing. At the moment, registration is open and live gameplay is happening on worldgaming.com. Registration is still open. It's completely free. I highly encourage anyone that plays NHL 18 to
for the
go
Xbox,
on there.
Right?
Yep, on
Xbox.
Oh,
well, I guess this whole podcast does, so I guess we're going to have to go out there and take all the money.
Yeah, guys, absolutely. So there is prize money on the line, but you actually were allowing Xbox and PlayStation.
Oh,
so
man.
You can, depending on where you prefer to compete, you are more than welcome to. But then March 7th, we are hosting live champs at Xfinity Live. So at this particular moment, we have more than 3,000 people registered and playing. And we are, just, again, so grateful to Xbox and World Gaming for their amazing partnerships. But yeah, so you two are actually going to be showing up at Live Champs. But any of your listeners, I highly encourage you to go play, come to Xfinity Live. It's definitely going to be a great time. We're going to have a few students there. We're going to have a couple Flyers alum, and we'll have a great time.
Yeah, if by some chance you haven't made it to Xfinity Live yet, it's so much more than just bars in restaurants.
Yes.
It's a full atmosphere.
Yeah, I brought my brother-in-law there. He went to a game for a Santa Sack. He lives a little further away, so he could go a lot of games, and he'd never been to Xfinity. He's like, this is really cool. And I was like, yeah, it is cool. He's just sitting by the fire outside, like a little cold.
Yeah.
It was, you know, people were hanging out. It's always a good time there. So that should be a great time, you know. And you know, that's the eSport tournament. You can register right now, just like Jenny told you. And then I guess one last thing you want to bring up here, I think that's definitely important, the U35 membership you brought up. So you can go online, you can choose your donation, just to be clear. I know we mentioned it like a couple minutes ago, but they can choose how much they want to pay per month. Besides a regular like flat donation, this is the U35 membership where they can pick anywhere from 10 to, you know, and up, right? And go anywhere
10
from
and up, there. Yep.
And you can say where, and of course, if you do that, it says, since you just sign up, make sure you tell them the Broad Street Bully podcast sent you. So Jenny knows we didn't just delete this interview after we hung up on her. That would be really great.
That would be amazing. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
you. Can
you
put your credit card information in there. It's a really easy way to do. Good way to get involved if you have some extra cash. I know we have a fan out there who's a lawyer, Sean. Ben Eager's Slapshot won't go away, but these kids' education chance will if you don't donate, Ben.
And also, if you sign up for U35 or you're too old for U35, there's also a list of current auctions going on from the Ed Snyder website, which is esyhf.org. And there's actually a lot of cool auctions.
Or SnyderHockey.org. That'll work.
Yeah, or SnyderHockey.org.
Yep, or SnyderHockey.org now.
So there's just some of the stuff's up for auction. Club Box Flyers tickets, tickets to ELO. And my personal favorite, the Wells Fargo ice skating party with alumni.
Yeah, and also a Bill Barber autographed jersey and Now and Then Flyers Greats autographed book.
So guys, I will tell you, that ice skating party goes every single year.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a hot ticket.
I wouldn't know, but now I do, and now I want to go. I might just forego my loan payments, take another mortgage out to afford it. I think I'm going to do it.
I took my dad to the Flyers Rangers alumni game where Bernie played the first period, and it's the most excited I've ever seen him.
Your dad, you mean?
Yeah, most excited I've ever seen my dad from a gift that I gave him, and it was awesome that he got to see like his childhood idol play. So like, imagine getting to skate on the same ice with the people that you idolized as a kid.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wish He-Man was wearing hockey skates. It'd be
well,
cool.
He-Man, he can't. Doesn't have the coordination.
Whatever. Anything else, Jenny, you want us to pretty much, you know, you want to plug anything about, you know, Snyder Hockey, anything else you want our fans to know about, like either you or the mission statement and anything they can do to help out or support the program?
Oh, absolutely. If anyone that would like to follow us, all of our social channels are at Snyder Hockey. Our website is www.snyderhockey.org. We are doing a few updates at the moment, but you can find all the information for U35 and certainly how you can join. And absolutely, March 7th, come to Xfinity Live. There's no admission to it, but there's plenty of opportunities to just have a great time with some friends, get some food, get some drinks. And thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Of course, Jenny, thank you for you know, coming on the show, and good luck to you, and I'm sure we'll get some donations your way. If not, I will convince some of my older, richer relatives to put it in my cousin's names. Like, hey, help them out over here.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah, no, I know it works. I'm a capitalist, baby. It's what I do. All right.
And thanks for outing me for not being from Philadelphia.
Hey, listen, I will help as much as I can. I already meant to be having a soft spot for the kids. I couldn't be a phony and let that one go. All right, I'm going to get torn up enough for that from the people on Twitter, so I got to do it. I got to do it. All right, guys. Jenny Brezina from the Snyder Hockey Foundation, and back to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Wow! Thanks for listening to the Broad Street Bullies podcast. We're coming at you live with you guessed it, hockey vibe. Stay tuned. That ice is cold. It's freezing cold, baby. Get on that puck. Let's do it.
All right, and we're back. So once again, thanks to Jenny Brezina from the Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation. Be sure to check out their stuff at SnyderHockey.org. And if you donate, make sure you tell them who sent you, the Broad Street Bully podcast.
Us.
Yeah. And follow them on Twitter and all that stuff.
I don't know
and,
what we get, but...
And maybe you'll see one, two, or maybe all three of us at the March 7th eSports Hockey Tournament.
Yeah. Maybe you'll see us in the press box taking pictures of John Bork.
Yeah, and saying, look at this dumb tie away he's not wearing anymore because of our tie gate we started last year. I still take credit for it.
If you're ever at a Flyers game and you happen to come across Morgani as he's walking around the concourse, because you always see him, ask him why they ditched ties, because I want to know.
They're so old school. They're going with the new
The new format.
Is it the new, cool down, I'm Rob Ellis?
It's kind of like the way like stuff became in the 60s and 70s, more like low professionalism, like, you know, still professional, but like more loose, you know,
right?
The pocket kind of guy.
The creation of business casual, you would say.
I would say that,
They have to appeal
yes.
to the millennial generation.
We go away from the yuppies of the 80s, you know, and the uptight of the 90s against the grunge and radical hip-hop of the day.
If they had to appeal to the new generation, they would wear flannel and get stupid haircuts.
Jeff, I still dress the same way.
But that's why John Boric just spews hot takes all day.
It's true.
To appeal to...
That makes sense.
The millennials.
The people who only read headlines.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is actually... Headlines, majority of people.
Headlines and comment sections.
This article's stupid. Did you read it? No, I mean, enough of the headline to know.
I make fun of people for that, but we all do it. Like, people will post a headline, I'm like, I already have to make my mind up about the article, then I'll read it. But, like, I'll actually, like, realize I'm doing that and actually go back and read it again and read something else.
But
the thing is, I don't post about it or tweet about it online. Yeah. Like, can you believe this idiot's prediction about the Eagles? Like, did you even read what he said?
The
like,
key point of that sentence is you eventually read it.
Yeah, but we're emotional and we have our values and our preconceived notions of life, so it always judges. This is very philosophical, Broad Street Boy Podcast Hour, right?
Well, yeah.
Philosophical.
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 You interview one person of measure and you think you're a gosh darn philosopher. I can't even speak right now.
A philosopher.
Philosophizer. Oh, good. Now that's from Dodgeball. Now he's a philosophizer. that's the problem. I always said that. It's messing up my speech. Also, my mush mouth. So anyway,
philosophizer.
I want to talk a little bit about the NHL All-Star Game, but I think it's perfect time to introduce something else instead that'll bring us to that point. And Jeff, do you know what time it is to bring us
point? Are we doing it early again?
Do you even know what I'm talking about? I don't think you do. In case you don't, get ready for it, because
it's time for
Shibba-doo-bop-bop Tweet of the Week. Yeah!
That's right, everybody. It's time for Tweet of the Week. The time of the week for the show where you, the listener, you, the fan, or you, the person that used to be a goalie and lost a bunch of games for the Flyers and now interviewing people at the NHL All-Star Game, might do something we like or think is funny, and we talk about it from your tweet. So, Jeff, what's this week's Tweet of the Week?
Well, that wasn't the best way. The Players Tribune tweeted out Brizgalov's interview with Sidney Crosby at All-Star Weekend because they gave Brizgalov a microphone and made him a roving reporter.
Which is honestly the smartest business decision he'd probably ever make. That's like a great position for him to be in, because Brizgalov on the mic is just, that's just like when you find the dumb person at like the scene of a crime. Like, you ask him, what'd you guys see? There was a fire and
let's listen to the insights.
So this
that
is a special like
has.
Jeopardy like audio Tweet of the Week.
Yeah.
Ooh. Let's go with it. All right, here we go.
I'm Ilya Brizgalov. I'm here with Sidney Crosby. I ask him a non-hockey related question. First of all, Sid, could you name me three, maybe five, Pirates captain?
Pirates captains? like Captain Hook?
Okay.
Jack Sparrow? Captain Morgan? That's all I got.
Bernsie, he looks like
who? Oh, yeah.
Davy Jones?
From a Brent Burns, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, and last year we had a question like from the math, you know, like was 2 plus 2 multiplied by 2. Uh-huh. That answer was
8.
It was a 6, actually, not an 8. But it's
what was it?
2 plus 2 and multiply by 2.
Okay.
You do multiplication first and after addition.
PEMDAS!
I'm talking to the people on the street and they consider you guys as superheroes. What do you think? How do you see yourself? Who you might be?
Oh my God.
Because Johnny Captain Goodrow, underpants. He's like a baby Groot, for example.
What do you think?
Maybe like a Thor, something.
Okay, yeah, Thor, I'll take that.
He's a baby
I'll
Groot.
Take that. That's way better than what I was picturing, so I'll take that for sure.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Congratulations.
Good seeing you.
Johnny right, Goodrow is baby Groot.
Thank you. Thank you to Brizgalov for our
one.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
It resets. Thank you.
Do bop bop. Tweet of the week.
It reset on me. I double clicked it. Sorry about
that. The best part of that is besides
baby
Brizgalov stumbling through questions is the look on Crosby's face. When like, he's not like 100% sure what he's asking.
Like, this guy has the Flyers franchise shutout record.
Like, when
for like most amount of time.
When he's just like, Pirates captains? Like,
do you mean like the baseball team? The captains? Like, that's what I thought.
Crosby was just like,
I don't want to talk over it, but I really didn't know at first what he was asking.
No, yeah. And it's just like him stumbling through questions, but he has a bunch of videos up of him roving microphone man.
Didn't they do that with the Stanley Cup playoff last year?
Yeah, I think they just bring him in and let him interview people.
He probably loves it. He loves talking to people. He just loves to. I mean, he became the star of that 24th. That overshadowed the fact that he didn't even play in the actual Winter Classic, the road to HBO 24/7 Winter Classic.
That
he didn't even play in the starting game, but it didn't matter because he just had the whole like Tiger's blood, the humongous big, like all that crazy stuff.
The universe is so humongous big.
Him sitting in his big Christmas dinner eating with his family, like, you know, all looking all regal and stuff, like a freaking czar of Russia.
I'm not scared of Penguin.
I'm scared of Baron Forrest. Just thinking, like, he played against Crosby. Crosby's like, how the hell this guy can make a
save? Yeah, exactly. That too. Again,
what is this guy's problem?
I love the math question that he asked.
Yeah, I like how it's just like, and then Crosby's like 8. He's like, no, you're wrong.
Actually, it's 6.
Dummy.
Back when I went to high school back in Soviet Union, they beat our knuckles till we got the question right.
Yeah, but it's all about PEMDAS, man.
Yeah, PEMDAS is definitely a savior when it comes to doing order of operations. That got me through most of my formidable years in high school.
All right.
Yeah. Jeff, rebuttal.
And that has been...
Well, you did graduate, so I would have to say that that is true.
That's what you think.
just got a really good printer. Made a diploma.
So, All-Star Game, anything of note happened? I didn't get to watch any of the game either on Sunday. I didn't watch the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl stinks. The Pro Bowl still has all the fanfare and everyone likes to watch it, but it stinks. The NHL All-Star Game is by far a superior product, an actual game
Claude Giroux refused to pass and then scored.
It was a good goal,
That's
though.
Not what happened.
Yeah.
He tried to pass to Boyle and he didn't. I've read about
that
already.
he was going to pass to Boyle and then just looked off. Yeah,
so why was Boyle at the game again? Like, what did he do? Like, did he cure cancer or something?
Well, no, he had
cancer.
Had cancer.
And then...
His son's currently sick, and what's his face? Taylor Hall couldn't make it.
Okay. Yeah,
so he
got
John Scott treatment.
That's what I thought would happen, but
They sent him as the devil's representative, because really, I don't
know. The devil's advocate!
Now, there was a lot of back and forth with Sam Carcitti didn't think that if... The one player was injured, then somebody from the team had to replace him, but that's what the NHL did, so I don't know how correct Sam was.
Well, I'm sure he got a really, reasonable people on Twitter talking to him about it. I'm sure no one yelled at him for calling him an idiot.
Seth Jones hurt himself because he's a number two, and Zach Werenski took his spot. Hall hurt himself, so Boyle took his spot. So, like, I think they kept it with teammates.
That makes sense for just marketing.
So everybody had one
purposes.
Rep. Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. I guess that's why Drew wanted to pass him. I thought there was something like that going on. I just didn't really get to hear much about it.
And then the Metro lost pretty early on, and I kind of lost all interest
the
in
Pacific
it. I think
won,
the Pacific, the Pacific took home the $1 million.
I mean, sure.
Yeah,
what,
I stopped watching after the Metro lost, and then I just turned the Sixers on.
Okay. Yeah, Connor McDavid repeated as fastest skater in the skills competition. Brock Boeser won target shooting by hitting all 5 in like 11
Besser.
Seconds. It was ridiculous. Besser, Boeser, yes, Baser, Beezer.
He's on my fantasy
Brock
team.
Besser.
Yeah, he crushed the target shooting. And Giroux did okay in the passing challenge, but I think came in like 4th.
Oh, well.
Not last, though.
Who cares? He's still in top 5 in the league in points, so
not
who
last.
Cares? That's all that matters. And the team has been playing much better this year with him turning it on. So moving on, All-Star Game, you buying, you selling?
What, like
would
the
you,
Flyers?
Would you watch it again? No, buying or selling? Do you like, is it a good, you think it's a good...
The skills competition's always fun.
Yeah, I kind of like the skills competition more than the actual
I always
game.
Liked, I thought that was always great, because the hockey skills competition's more fun to watch than any other skills competition.
The 3-on-3 definitely makes it more palatable.
The dunk contest in NHL, NBA used to be pretty good, but I think nowadays it's kind of like getting played out.
The 3-on-3 definitely makes it more palatable, but I just didn't care.
Yeah, I just think the 3-on-3, I said about this before, like I think I've brought this up every year the All-Star Game happens. It's way easier because it takes away the contact aspect out of the game as much, and it's like a tournament. It's 3-on-3. It's more open hockey and creative without risking players feeling they're risking their bodies.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to NFL, you can't do anything.
Like I was ready to watch the skills competition, and then Sunday you guys were like, "The game's on," and I was like, "Oh, whoops."
Yeah, I didn't realize it was starting that early. It was only like 3:00 or something.
Yeah, I was out in a boot doing things. So that's our All Star.
So skills
you guys
competition.
Missed
yes.
a hell of a Sixers game though that night.
Yeah, Sixers are doing pretty well then, huh?
Well, they lost 2 in a row, but that game was wild.
Like, would you be surprised if they don't make the playoffs this year? You watch almost every game.
Is the East good or bad?
The East is okay.
Well, the NBA,
I mean,
like outside the top 3 teams, you just like, think it's a crapshoot.
Clippers,
yeah, for the most part.
Didn't the Clippers just trade?
They traded Blake Griffin
to the Pistons.
To the Pistons, correct.
So the East got a little bit better. Or is Blake Griffin not good anymore? I don't know.
I mean, he'll make... I mean, the Pistons aren't very good right now. They're like 22 and 26. So I think they're in like 9th or 10th.
Was Blake Griffin ever that good? I thought he was just very marketable because he's like a handsome, like mixed dude. Everyone's like, oh, he's so
he
cute.
Was... No, he's like pretty good. He can... He's developed more over his career than when he first came in the league. He's just a dude that could jump and...
Okay, he's more of like a piece of the puzzle now. He's not like these. He has to have talent around him, though, right?
Yeah.
He's not like a guy who can take over a game.
And that, I mean, the Clippers, too, were just like, after they traded Chris Paul, there's nothing.
CP3, baby. So I know some basketball, Jeff.
But I think that the Sixers right now might be in the 8th spot. They were in the 6th spot, but they lost 2 in a row, so I think they may have dropped a couple spots. I haven't really looked. But I don't know. I think they'll... It's all going to come down to Joel Embiid. He's going to be available for back-to-back games now coming up. Like, this past game yesterday was his first availability for back-to-back, but they didn't play him. So if he plays, they need to get him playing back-to-backs and they get J.J. Redick back from injury, and I think they'll probably be okay. I think they'll probably squeak into the playoffs at like an 8th seed or maybe a little bit higher.
Okay.
Well, hot diggity dog.
I'm down with that. It's good. So, wait, this is a Flyers podcast, guys. Let's get back to brass tacks here. The Eagles are playing the Super Bowl this Sunday. Holy cannoli, I am pumped. And according to our insider, Doyle, we might have a possible date for the parade they're leading to. So, Doyle, what's our inside scoop here with, like, inside information with Doyle, what's
inside scoop
Doyle.
Is a parade... is looking at Wednesday.
You heard it here first. Unless he's wrong, then you didn't.
So, if the Eagles do win the Super Bowl on Sunday against New England Patriots in Minneapolis, Minnesota, oh dear, the parade's supposed to be Wednesday.
Yes.
So, do what I did. Use both of your PTO days for Tuesday and Wednesday. Just cancel one or take both if you'd like, depending on the outcome of the game, because it's going to be an absolute madhouse. I would start hitting up your friends that live in the city or in the outskirts that are walkable.
Yeah.
Like now.
It's going to be tough.
Because
the Phillies parade had a lot of people. But I think that the Eagles parade will turn out even more.
And here's the thing.
The Phillies parade had a ton of people, and they shut Paco down at 8 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's my thing with it. Normally I would like, and whatever, if you don't like the Eagles, then whatever. You got a nice interview about some Flyers today. Piss off, man. They haven't played.
Yeah,
but
turn it off.
I'm going to say...
thanks for downloading it.
Thank you for listening.
Rate stuff, 5 stars on iTunes, please.
We'll go back to the Flyers a little bit later, but we're going to talk about the Eagles right now, because this is what I want to talk about. I know Doyle does, too. And some of you guys are, you know, crossover fans, like, oh, we're not all Eagles fans. Well, whatever. Go for whatever you like, then. All right? We're Philly, you know, area guys. This is what we like. I would not usually say, like, if the parade or the parade's going to happen, but I feel so good about this team and where they've gone this year and what they're going to do that it's not stars aligned, like it's going to be destiny. I just feel like they are that damn good and no one ever gives them really a fair shake. Some people now are starting to as the game gets closer and the bet, I think the money's coming into Vegas, like, oh, we'll lower the odds a little bit. But I just feel like I think the Eagles could very well have this game won by, like, the fourth quarter if things go their way and they play a certain way. I just trust the game plan of our coach. Doyle, thoughts?
I would have to agree with all of that. I also think that they said Tom Brady is trying to downplay how the Eagles have what's been going for them this entire playoff run is that they're the underdogs. So, I don't know. I just think that this might be the one.
Yeah, and like, the parallels to Rocky are like, I know as ham-handed and hacky as they are, it's worth talking about. And this is not an original thought by me. Someone brought this up, and I think it's important. Rocky 1, they go the distance as a new kid on the block. And, you know, the Patriots at that point have already won a few Super Bowls. But this is the end of Apollo Creed or the Patriots run. And this is Rocky 2. And it's like, that all aside, though, think about it. This is like, if they were going to win a Super Bowl, if the Eagles win a Super Bowl, it couldn't be versus the Jaguars. It couldn't be versus the Titans.
Wouldn't have been against the Jaguars because Bortles would have tore him up.
If they had to win, it would have to be... Shut up, Jeff.
Blake!
It has to be against the Patriots. If you know what I'm saying, like, if we're going to win a Super Bowl finally after the years and years and decades of anguish that our freaking forefathers before us have suffered on this hallowed ground, conceive a new nation of liberty. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if they really wanted to do something like that, they would have to beat the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Not a Tom Brady backup. Not, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Ryan Mallett or whoever else that they had over there. They need to actually beat Tom Brady. And that's like, it's like the end of the game. It's like the final boss. And we have to do it. And I think they have a huge shot to do it. I'm not saying they're going to run away and blow out the game. I said it's possible. I think they can win a close game, too. I just really, I don't know, man. The defense, I think, is they're the best defensive pressure on the quarterback. And the Eagles are going to play arguably the worst defense of the playoffs that they've faced already. Minnesota and Atlanta's defenses were much better.
The other thing that
statistically,
I
mean, it always, it's goes to the window when the game starts.
The other thing I take into account, too, is that, like you just said, the Eagles' defensive line is just so good. And I mean, parallel to, as much as you hate it, the New York Giants beat them twice, and their line was stacked. They had Justin
Tucker.
Yeah, their
defense is really good.
Matias Kiwanuka, Osiyumanyura.
And their secondary overall wasn't an astounding group.
Jason Pierre-Paul with all of his fingers.
Yeah, he had all his fingers back there, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that front four was nasty.
Right, and Eli Manning just had to be good enough.
The Eagles' front four is probably, I would say, just as nasty or on equal level.
And that Giants team had a great run game, which we also have, and we got ranked by Pro Football Focus week, I mean the Eagles, as the best offensive line in football. And that's after losing Jason Peters.
Yeah.
Still. We still are like, I mean, most of that was because of Peters this season, but I think that's held up. And ever since the playoffs, Vitae's not let up a sack on his side.
Yeah, he played pretty well against, I forget who he played, was it? I forget what the guy's name is on the Vikings, but he's, like,
he's
one of the best.
Yeah. I forget his name. Pass
rushers. I've already
flushed him focus on the Super Bowl. Yeah. I flushed his name. It's been a week. That's old hat.
Well,
now.
even Bill Burr, who's a diehard Patriots fan, was being super cautious about it, talking about it, because he's like, there's a real good chance, like the people in Vegas are like, if they knew sports, they would bet the Eagles to be the winners.
Yeah.
Because he was like, they have more things going for them than the Patriots do right now.
Yes. So,
and that's, I feel like,
also,
I don't know if it's Bill Burr being cautious, but for him to say that, like, there's a good chance the Eagles could win, I think that's huge, because he's like, you know how big of a Patriots fan he is.
There's also turmoil between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Right. I don't think
apparently,
that's real.
Is that real? But the media is going to stir it up. I mean, they've always been good at blocking the media out, but it doesn't matter, man. I just think the team is just the underdog nature of the team. Like, you, all year you've seen the celebration. We've talked about it sporadically throughout the podcast this year. I think we talked about, like, oh, that Eagles game was great. Little bits and pieces, because obviously we love the Eagles. Well, Doyle and I do. They've had so much fun playing together all year, and you see that. And there's, like, you see, like, you sense a camaraderie that, like, it's bigger than the game. And I don't mean to speak in too much hyperbole, but that's the kind of stuff I think that makes the city really grow and attach to the team. Kind of like the 08 Phillies.
Well, they said,
you had
too,
guys
like
Jeff Jenkins on the team, like, who the heck's that guy? But
Jenkins.
He was a huge piece.
Eric
to, like,
Bruntlett.
Eric Bruntlett. Like, they brought the team to where they needed to be outside just the regular core players. And we have those guys we had this year that have really stepped up and really made their role be felt. And there's not really a one-star player. Yeah, Carson Wentz was the guy. And, like, sure, Malcolm Jenkins might be the leader of the defense.
But,
right,
yeah,
now
they added a lot of great pieces, too.
And the depth was needed. Because look how many injuries we've had. We've overcome, like, I've never seen a team overcome this many injuries and go to the Super Bowl. Maybe I'm wrong, and I don't know. But I don't think I've ever, a starting quarterback. And not only that, like, of course, you have Jeff, Hostetter and all that stuff. And, like, Doug Williams for the Redskins. Mm-hmm. The Giants with Hostetter. Like, you hear about that, but.
Well, then they had Trent Dilfer, too.
Yeah, but, like.
Dilf.
Like, what about,
worst,
like,
quarterback
losing
to
your,
win a Super,
like,
Bowl.
Starting middle linebacker. And, like, your special teams captain, your best special teams player that you actually won a Super Bowl before. What about losing your
starting running back?
Your future Hall of Famer, probably.
Yeah, they've lost
left
literally, like,
tackle.
Every leader on their team.
You've lost
Darren,
veteran.
Darren Sproles went out, like, week two or three, right?
Yeah.
It was three versus the Giants, the game I went to, the field goal.
Yeah.
With Elliott,
he broke his wrist and his knee.
Yeah, but he's going to play next year. He's already running. But Sproles and Maragos have already won Super Bowls before.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, those are, like, veteran guys. They're there to support the team, and, like, they've been at meetings and all that stuff. Apparently Peterson's been letting them kind of run some meetings and talk to them. It just, it feels like
they have,
this could be it, man.
They do have guys with experience, too, in the Super Bowl, which is great.
Yeah,
I mean,
Chris
Jenkins,
Long, right?
Winners and losers.
Jenkins won.
Chris Long won one last year?
Yeah, Chris Long
Patriots.
And
yeah.
Blunt were both on that team. Then the guy they signed, Donnell Ellerby, was on, I think it was the Ravens when he won. Corey Graham, who's
LB was on the Ravens. You're right. Yeah,
he was on the Ravens too. I think, I don't know if Jernigan might have been or not. But Torrey Smith, obviously. I'm trying to think of who else. I think that's pretty much everybody.
Yeah. I already said Maragos and all that, so yeah, that pretty much covers it. It just feels good, Doyle, and it's been such a weird ride this year. Not weird like in a bad way, weird like it's almost unbelievable thinking this team was going to be, in my mind, no better than 10-6. And
yeah, that's what I thought,
for
too.
For either a weirdly weak division, which I think was going to happen, or probably a wild card team.
Yeah.
And they wound up taking the first seed in the NFC and the best record. I know they were tied with other teams, but they still have the best record. Nothing can take that away from them. And they're going to play the Super Bowl for it all on Sunday, man. I'm so excited. I know we've got the Flyers coming up and everything, and that's good. I think that's all. It's trickling down the other teams, too. I think the Flyers and the Sixers are kind of feeding off that. There's a lot of, like, it's a good to be in Philadelphia right now. The whole city's in green and lights, if you've been there at all. Like, all the high.
Oh, yeah.
The skyline's all green. The Ben Franklin's all green and white lights. It's just cool as hell. And yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with the Eagles. That being said, I did create a mini recreation of a famous, one of the most famous badass speeches of all time. Not really a speech, more like an address given to the troops on D-Day. You know, this is right before the Cold War, for your Cold War reference people out there. This is
it's right before the Cold War. It was in the middle of World War II.
Exactly, which the Cold War ended right after World War II, as soon as the bomb was dropped. Come on, Jeff. Get on my historian level.
Oh, my God.
So, Dwight D. Eisenhower, apparently this is unknown, he wrote this letter to the Eagles fan base, coaches, and players this past week from the grave.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this?
John Edwards did that thing where he talked to spirits and he got it and read it
all. Oh, yeah,
down.
Like, ooh, I'm Dwight Eisenhower. They call me Ike. Yep. Vote Ike. I like Ike.
Sensing something starts with an E? E. F? No, E.
A?
A? E-A? EA Sports.
No, E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles, brother. So why not? We're going to do this. It's Super Bowl week. This might not happen again.
You better not mess up while you're reading.
Coaches, players, and fans of the Philadelphia Eagles, you're about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many decades. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of New England hating people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave families, underdogs in arms and all their fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the Belichick war machine, the elimination of patriot tyranny over oppressed fan base of the NFL, and security for ourselves in a new dynasty. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well coached, well equipped with the Hall of Fame QB, and has probably stolen our signals again. They will fight savagely. But this is the year 2018. Much has happened since the Patriot triumphs of 2004-2005. The underdog nation have inflicted upon their opponents great defeats. In open field, man-to-man, and in zone coverage, our offensive scheme has seriously reduced their ability to defend our receivers downfield and their capacity to stop our run game on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority and chance and memes of war, and place our disposal great reserves of trained Eagles fans. The tide has turned. The free men of Philadelphia are marching together to win a Super Bowl. I have full confidence in your game plan, devotion to each other, and skill in the trenches. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck. And let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty whence upon this great noble undertaking. Undersigned, Dwight D. Eisenhower. You know what happened when he gave the original speech of that? America won World War II.
Yeah, we kicked those Brits' asses.
And what's more American, Boston or Philadelphia?
Brits,
let me tell
he
you.
Says.
What'd you say?
Brits, he says.
Oh, the Brits?
It's from Beer Fest.
Oh, it is from Beer Fest, yeah. I'll let that go and go. Yeah. But I still share Doyle's disdain anytime you open your mouth. Philadelphia was the place where America was, you know, conceived.
Next, you're
going to
say the Nazis bombed Pearl Harbor.
I thought the movie made money.
You said it, not me.
The Philadelphia, birthplace of democracy and freedom, dude. Boston was a bit of drunk terrorists, like tarring and feathering tax collectors and throwing snowballs at, like, not Santa, but redcoats armed with guns and cried wolf when they got beat up to it. So, know what? I will take Philly a rainy day. Go Eagles. I say we win the game. Doyle, predictions?
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm too excited for the game itself. I actually just want it to be Sunday already.
Yeah, me too, man. So anyway, back to the Flyers. Go Birds. Whatever happens, happens. So before we end the show, it's time for our Lauren Hart Waves of the Week, which I think we can open up to anyone in the Philly sports world this week, because really... there wasn't really much to wave about last week with the Flyers game. So, Doyle, I'm going to give it to you first. You're Lauren Hart Wave of the Week for giving kudos. So we're going to go all Philly Sports Week with bringing all the energy in for the Eagles. Doyle, you're a Lauren Hart Wave of the Week.
I'm going to have to show you the video of it, but I'm going to give mine to Joel Embiid for absolutely murdering Russell Westbrook on a dunk during the
I was going to let
during
it go.
The Thunder
Why?
Game.
Why would you let it go? This is your.
I already started laughing at it as soon as it happened during the Thunder game. And then after the next day he posted on Instagram like the still shot of him dunking on Russell Westbrook and at the location of his Instagram photo it said first the caption said tough loss but the location of the picture was crime scene investigation.
That's awesome. I love it. Joel Embiid, good trash talker from what I've read about him. I've only watched him a few times playing games. I don't watch Sixers that much, but great to hear we have men of our ilk playing for teams that we love.
Far ilk.
So, Jeff, your Lauren Hart wave of the week.
Give it to former Flyers goalie and field reporter Ilya Bryzgalov for asking the hard-hitting questions on All-Star Weekend.
The thing is that they want to know about Sidney Crosby. Not like, hey, when you play as a kid, you ever think you'd make it this far?
Exactly.
Like, how does it feel to be the generational
talent? Well, what do we learn? Sidney Crosby can't do math.
And also,
basic math.
He doesn't even know real pirates. They were all fake pirates that were like, you know, from movies. And like,
Captain Morgan, the Pirate Bay.
Captain Jack Sparrow. Claude Giroux probably knows the whole history of the pirate and the privateers during the war of 1812.
The privateers.
That's what they were called.
I know, but still.
Okay, just defending myself.
I believe Captain Morgan was a real pirate as well as a rum, though.
Well,
then there's also Sailor Jerry and Admiral Nelson.
It's Admiral Nelson. That's if your budget's low, but your
Admiral Nelson,
your want to drink is high.
Many a good time,
many more a bad,
and many a bad.
Yeah, many were bad.
How about Brent Selleck did the Captain Morgan pose for a touchdown celebration and got fined because he was getting like he got money from Captain Morgan to do that. Remember that back in like probably 10 years ago?
Yeah,
strapping lad Brent Selleck.
Yeah, the only holdover from the Andy Reid regime.
Yeah, it's all right. I love him. I hope he wins. Just for win it for Brent. And also for me and my dead grandfathers. Please. We need it. We need it. I'm going to cry.
Oh, dude,
like
I'm going to cry so much.
Silly little ghoul on Sunday. Whatever. I don't care. You can make fun of me for it. And my Lauren Hart wave of the week. Goes to Jenny and all people at Ed Snyder Hockey Youth Foundation for providing
that's a good one.
Educational services, hockey equipment, hockey opportunities to better themselves as an athlete, as a person, and as getting out of rough at-risk areas. And that's a great service they do. And also, make sure you check them out, SnyderHockey.org, and check out their U35 program. And one more thing, another honorable mention to Doug Pearson and the whole Eagles team, because I feel like we're going to do it. And I've talked about the Eagles way enough, but I don't care, because guess what? It's our show.
Guys, did you look at the prop bets for the Super Bowl?
No, we didn't.
No.
Over-under on times Carson Wentz is shown on television, 3.5.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, if they win, it's going to be over 3.5 because they're gonna give him the trophy because he helped bring him here.
And then it's all the other stupid stuff, like what color Gatorade are they going to dump on people and how
yellow.
Many times. Will Tom Brady's jersey be stolen this year?
Length of the national anthem.
Which song Justin Timberlake will open with is a prop bet. How long
Rock
Pink,
Your Body, or that'll be the ender.
How long Pink will sing for is up there.
Time, but I don't mind.
Then, of course, what will the coin toss be?
Yeah. Will that wheel out George Bush Sr. like, hey, I put more too. He looked so bad last year, poor guy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
No, flip the coin. My fingers will break.
But my fingers hurt. No, your back's not hurt. You just pulled landscaping duty. When else's fingers hurt?
I'm sure.
A glass of warm milk.
Show time.
Yeah, the warm glass I shut the hell up.
See his name tag right here, lady? All right. It wasn't Billy Madison. It was Happy Gilmore this time. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And thanks again to Jenny from SIR Youth Hockey Foundation, all our listeners out there. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Go Eagles on Sunday. Go Flyers tonight. Hopefully they won last night in our time continuum we're still stuck in. And we'll be back here next week, hopefully with full of drunk-filled parade stories. But if not... it's okay. We'll still be here.
It'll be drunk-filled sad stories.
Yeah, sad tissues, not happy tissues. I'll see you guys later. Go Eagles. And go Birds!
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter @ the BSB Podcast.